We thank you, Master. Whew. We thank you and we love you. And we stand before you in awe and of hope. Hope in you. Trust in you. Surrender to you. Committing to you our spirit, soul, and body and flesh, our members and memories, our conscience and subconscious, our attitude, motive, and desires to you as a living sacrifice in exchange for the heart, mind, will, and the desires and character, image, and likeness of the Christ. In Jesus' name, repenting for every sin, transgression, and iniquity, repenting for touching unclean things, false agreements, repenting for unfulfilled vows, repenting for lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life, repenting for every area of offense to you, repenting for our families, our forefathers, repenting for the sins of this country and the sins of the body of Christ, repenting for the sins of Jerusalem and Israel and the Jewish people. Lord, we repent for them. We ask, Lord, that you bring revival. Revival to this country. Revival to the body. Revival to individuals. Revival. Revival to this park. Rescue your people, Master. Rescue your people. And grant us the wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Grant us revelation and impartation. Thirst and hunger for your righteousness. That your will be done, your kingdom will be glorified, and Jesus would be exalted. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Praise God. Give somebody a hug and tell them this is your day. Hallelujah. How's everybody today? Blessed and highly favored. And highly flavored. You know, the Bible tells us that we're to be seasoned. Seasoned, but also be a sweet-smelling aroma. Hallelujah. Would you turn to the book of Galatians, please? In chapter 5. Verse 16, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. Would you read it with me, please? I say, then walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish or desire. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law of sin and death. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are under the law of sin and death, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murderers, drunkenness, revelries, and anything that is like what was just mentioned, or in the same category, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And in this, one of the things that the Spirit was sharing with me today is the area of the area where the enemy is always trying to get people, of course, to sow into the flesh and to practice ungodliness. Because he knows that the end result will be eternal damnation. And even if they get rescued before they die and they come to the Lord, they've never fulfilled the destiny that God had for them here on the planet, which would be to assist in rescuing more souls. So in this, these are areas where he said those who practice such things will not inherit or not enter eternal life. And as for the body of Christ, it is our responsibility to decree, declare, express, and expose. Areas where the devil is taking advantage, where the enemy is infiltrating, or is what his next move is, or his next tactic is. That's our responsibility, isn't it? That's why we're to be ready in season and out in every area. But the first thing that God does is clean us up. He cleans us up. Why? So he can flow through us in every area in a mightier way. Now, we're going to be having, I want to talk about last days, because this is something that's effective right now. I mean, things are getting worse. They're not getting better. Things that are good, they're calling, or things that are holy, they're calling evil. And things that are evil, they're calling holy, which they don't even know what holy is. The only thing they know is holy cow, you know. And in this, it is our responsibility to decree, declare, expose, rebuke, with all evidence from above, the exposure of the enemy in every area. We are in the last days, and we are going to do a last days series. I mean, we are in the last hours, not just in the last days. Let's go to 1 John right now, in chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Is everybody there? 1 John chapter 2. Let's start at verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And who's the ruler of the world? Satan and his kingdom. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the what? Will of God abides forever. Now that's something very important, isn't it? So you may proclaim to be a believer, but you ain't doing God's will. Well, you ain't going home. Because the word believe means to follow. Follow. So sometimes you've got to step back and ask yourself, am I doing the will of God? Or am I doing my will? Because the enemy's greatest weapon is deception, and his power is fear. You must discern your desires, discern your thoughts, discern your dreams, discern your motives, discern your attitudes. All of these areas, you got to find out who's expressing through you, God or the enemy. In verse 18, little children, it is the what? Last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Now, we all know that the Antichrist is coming. But we also know that there are many Antichrists. And it says, and even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. Antichrist, those who come against Christ. And the word Christ is also representation as the anointed one. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be manifest, that none of them were of us. But you have a what? An anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. The whole thing is to tap into the anointing to know all things. And that is going to be essential in these last hours and last days, is to be anointed, to be able to tap into the anointing. We call it catch the anointing. That's tapping into the anointing. It's an area where we must go deeper in the Spirit of God. You know, there are many believers who just read the Bible and think they're saved. But even Jesus rebuked them. He said, you search the Scriptures thinking you're saved, but you won't come to me to get saved. He didn't come to them and say, listen, believe me. He said, follow me. Follow me. He said, but you have the anointing from who? The Holy One, the Holy Spirit. And you know all things. In other words, you will know what's coming. You'll know what's happening right now. You will know your position. You will know your function. You will know things. And what you don't know, you will know. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the anointed one and his anointing, or the Christ? He is an antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. Who acknowledges the Son has the Father. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and the Father. This is the promise that he has promised us, what? Eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to what? Deceive you. There is more deception on this earth than has ever been before. There's more delusion than ever before. But there's also more truth ever expressed before. There's more revelation. There are a lot of people getting lost, but there's a lot of people getting saved. There are a lot of people departing from the faith and a lot of people coming to the faith. Verse 27. But the anointing which we have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. In other words, any human or anything of the world teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it is taught you, you will abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Hello. See, and I want to share something before we go any further. There is a state of being of being born again. There's a state of being of being saved, then there's a state of being born again, and it's all associated with the tabernacle. But I'm not going to get into all that, but we do have teachings on it, saved or born again. But you want to walk in that born again state of being, and that's where you are. He who's in Christ is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things are becoming new. Because you cannot feed new with old. You constantly must feed new with new to maintain new. But the enemy's going to try to sway. He's going to try to bribe. He's going to always try for you to buy the old in replace of the new. So being born again is a state of being. Why? Because it says he who practices righteousness. So if a person is practicing unrighteousness, is he a state of born again? No way. He's not in a state of born again unless he is practicing righteousness. Is everybody okay? He says these are the last days. You're going to know those who are practicing righteousness. Why? Because you're going to need the anointing so we don't get deceived. Without the anointing, many people will be deceived. Many people are being deceived right now. Look at how many believers voted for an individual that promotes abortion. That's deception. How can they proclaim to be a believer but yet not know the ethics and the moral character of an individual and whether his hands or her hands are full of blood or clean? Something's not right. And it's the area that we're in right now. One of the things in the last days series that we're going to talk about, and I'm going to talk a little bit about today, is a perverse generation. There's going to be a generation, a perverse generation, God warned us, that would rise and take control, even in government. Go to Romans 11. Romans chapter 11. In verse 22. You know, it's amazing because how many believers are living together as boyfriend and girlfriend and calling themselves husband and wife, but they have never been married under their own laws. One of the things that's going to happen is the area where, you know, that spirit of Antichrist, and these are spirits of Antichrist that come against. What happens is individuals begin to put their opinion above the Word of God. Or they manipulate God's word to their advantage, rejecting conviction, still touching unclean things. In verse 22, therefore consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fell. Severity, but toward you goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you will also be what? Cut off. Verse 23. And they also, if they did not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. And if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into the cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who are natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Now that is a very important scripture. The reason, what he is saying, he's saying, listen, look at the next scripture. And so all Israel be what? Saved. It is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion. He will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. So we know that before the Lord can come, there is a set amount of Gentiles who will be saved before he comes. And that's what that scripture is talking about. It says right here in verse 25, it says, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. That means the number of Gentiles. So there is a number of Gentiles that has been predestined that will be saved and come in before the Lord returns. That's why the Bible says that this gospel must be preached to all nations. But there is a set number that has been predetermined by God Almighty. And when that number comes up, it's over. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Romans 16 and verse 17. Would you read it with me? 16:17. It says what? Now I urge you, brother, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned in what? Avoid them. Why? Because they are going to become a part of a perverse generation. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but serve their own belly. And by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. So we see that there's going to be a perverse generation that arises, and we have seen it arise already. What's happening right now is now they are discipling. Actually, the discipling of the perverse generations has started for many years. Amen. And I want to share something before we go any further. This will be a rebellious generation, an ungodly generation. They're trying to disciple or cause believers to go astray and separate them from the timeless generation. And in this has started years ago. I mean, you know, the enemy's always been trying to separate. But in this period of time right now, we have seen since the 60s, it's really grown tremendously. And the independence and the freedom of women's lib and all of the other areas that it has caused in the area of drugs, people coming out. In other words, the fear of God is being departed more and more. It's no longer passed down from generation to generation. And many generations who once feared God have now lost the fear of God, and it wasn't passed down to their children. And the Bible tells us that those who reject or forget the law of God, that he would reject their children, in that there would be a generation or a perverse generation that would arise. You know, I remember my few days in college that there were professors that were communists. I mean, you know, they were socialists. And they wouldn't come right out and say it, but they would teach their doctrine. They would have their opinion. They would cause many of the uprisings. Listen, I wasn't one that was favorable of going to Vietnam. I thought it was a stupid war, especially if they told you you couldn't go there and win. In fact, they tried to send me there. I told them to get lost. But anyways, I did do my military time, though. But in this, in my own life, I've seen, and never realizing, because even in the drug world and so forth, during those times, that there was a generation that was being raised up to be rebellious. No longer was, you know, my parents didn't believe in sleeping together before you got married. They tried to encourage me not to, but they didn't enforce it because they weren't fearing godly. They didn't have the godly fear enough. You know, they might have gone to church once in a while, but their relationship with the Lord had dwindled. And it's happening now. But during that period of time, so we saw a lot of uprising, rebellion, and all kinds of things happening, and doctrines that were being now preached of freedom, but it was the wrong freedom. It was freedom from religion. It was freedom, I don't want to say the word religion, but I'm freedom from worshiping, freedom from the fear of God. In other words, freedom from accountability, freedom from respect, freedom from honor, freedom from reverence. It was a freedom to do whatever you felt like doing if it felt good. And it was a doctrine that was displayed, and the person behind, of course, is Satan's kingdom. And now these individuals that have been taught through colleges, hello, taught through schools, taught through homes, have raised up and become attorneys. They've become doctors. They've become professionalists in the area where now they have infiltrated the government. And now they've become congressmen, senators, judges, Supreme Court judges, and now president. All because of the doctrine that was implemented from years ago, from the early 60s. And we're seeing a generation now that has taken, a perverse generation that has now taken over in government and is now spreading their doctrine. It's an ungodly, unfearing generation. Does everybody see this? And in this, we know that it's going to usher in the return of the Lord. Amen. In a mighty way. Would you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3? But we're waiting. We've got to keep pressing in so that that last Gentile gets saved. It may be your next door neighbor. Maybe your spouse. Hallelujah. Maybe your children. Who knows who it's going to be? But we must keep adding, going out and pressing in and declaring the truth so that that last Gentile gets saved and we can go home. In 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now, I know we've heard these before, but I want to reiterate again. We are dealing with a perverse generation that has taken control of this country, and you're seeing a revolution established right now. You're seeing people stand up who at one time were quiet, who at one time were just doing their own thing with their relationship with the Lord, are now standing up everywhere, coming against and fighting for the freedom. Because see, one of the things the devil wants to do is take away your freedom to worship. He wants to take your freedom away of speech. He wants to take your freedom to choose and put us into slavery and bondage by his doctrine. He wants to disciple everyone according to his way. In verse 1, would you read it with me? But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. I want to share with you that they're going to have a form of goodness. That godliness is a representation of goodness. They're going to have a form of goodness because the world doesn't know what godliness is. But they know what goodness is. And he's saying, from such people, turn away. Why? Turn away because he's going to not go according to the power of God or reverence God. What he's going to do is he's going to promote himself on his own goodness. Are you listening? Promote self with a will that is enlisted by darkness to perform a hidden agenda. I want to say that again. They will be promoters of self with a will that is enlisted by darkness to perform a hidden agenda. By rejecting the will of God, automatically they submit to the will of darkness, promoting a generation of ungodliness or perverseness. 2 Peter chapter 3. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Your redemption draws nigh. 2 Peter 3. Start at verse 1. Would you read it with me, please? Beloved, I now write to you the second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder. Are we getting reminded today? Amen. Amen. That you may be what? Mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts. Hello, is there scoffers? Amen. Man, you know, at one time people would be afraid to, the reverence of God would be far, I don't know. It just blows my mind that somebody would fight to remove the Ten Commandments. They're fighting to remove the name of God out of the courtrooms, and in God we trust. I mean, think about it. They're fighting for that, to remove anything associated with God so that the fear of God won't be reminded to people. Why? Because they're trying to avoid accountability. But they have no idea that they're accountable whether they avoid it or not. In verse 3 again, knowing this verse, that scoffers will come in the last days walking according to their what? Own lust, saying, where is the promise of his coming? So these are people that know about his coming, but they're going to turn. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. You know how many people are saying, well, they've been saying he's been coming for years. But they don't understand the fullness of the scriptures. They don't understand that Israel had to become a nation. Jerusalem had to become a capital. The Jews had to start coming down. The Berlin Wall had to come down. The Jews had to start coming home. All of these things had to come in effect in our generation. Because they don't understand the scriptures. But everybody's been looking, from the time of Paul, they've been looking for the return of the Lord. But certain things had to be fulfilled for his return. In verse 5, for this they willfully forget by the word of God. They what? Willfully. They've turned. They willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are preserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. That ungodly men are those what we said in Galatians chapter 5 about practicing of the works of the flesh, adultery, fornication. You know, people think that they're good because they live together and they go to church on holidays. Or they go to church, but they still are fornicating. Like it's okay. Well, God knows my heart. Yes, he does. And he's trying to expose it right now. Hello. In verse 8, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is what? One day. Hallelujah. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what? Repentance. That means turn away from what you're doing. Get right. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness shall dwell. Powerful. Powerful. So for you and I, we're looking for his return, aren't we? The newness of the eternal generation, a timeless generation. But the perverse generation is trying to blind. They're trying to keep individuals from knowing the truth. They're trying to remove anything associated with God that might click something that they've learned as a child. James chapter 5. And we know that the God of this world is actually money. He utilizes money to manipulate, doesn't he? We know he's Satan and his kingdom, but he utilizes money to manipulate. In verse 1 it says, come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you, and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. You know, many people are now going to buy gold instead of stock. But they have no idea. It ain't going to work. The Bible says that they'll throw their gold and silver in the streets. It ain't going to mean nothing. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out. And the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. In other words, God has heard the cries where the rich has used the individuals. Look at how many scandals are being exposed. Greed has overtaken this country phenomenally, like never before. I mean, it's not somebody burning somebody for 100,000, a million, or even 500 million. I'm talking 60 billion. How can a government not ever notice that? You know what I'm saying? I mean, man, how stupid can they still be and breathe? 60 billion. I mean, I'm not talking small change. That would definitely feed a lot of people and probably take care of the whole globe. Can you imagine sending $60 billion worth of corn seed out? It'd feed the whole world. In verse 5, you have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in the day of slaughter. You have condemned. You have murdered the just. He does not resist you. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the earlier and the what? Latter rain. Glory to God. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Everyone say, the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be what? Condemned. Behold, the judge is standing where? At the door. In other words, he's getting ready to come. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard that the perseverance of Job, and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into what? judgment. In other words, don't take the mark. Don't take the mark. In other words, you and I are looking for his return. There are corrupt riches that are being exposed. Don't become envious, but we're to stand strong right now. Very strong right now. There are false promises. There's all kinds of things that are happening. We could go on and on and on. But we know that things are being exposed all over this country. It's unfortunate that America will be eaten up. But we'll go to that later. But praise God, we won't be here when that happens. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Remember, one of the purposes of the Antichrist is to disarm us spiritually and militarily so that he can continue to do his own discipling. And one of the areas he uses is money. But first he takes the money and then redistributes it according to his will under control. Is everybody okay? In 1 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 1, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry. In other words, they're no longer promoting righteous marriages. And commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe in what? Know the truth. Wow. Now think about this. We have a Food and Drug Administration that they need to put warning labels on Twinkies. I mean, think about it. There's so much food out there that they've approved and even medication that they've approved. It's not food. It's not even food. It comes out of a lab. You know, years and years ago, I don't know how long ago, but there was a guy that murdered somebody, and he blamed it on eating too many Twinkies, and they cut him loose. They cut him loose because they realized that the food was messing his brain, and it was Twinkies. I'm telling you, I saw it on the news the other day. That's why I can use it now. So, you know, in other words, the government is no longer at your protection. They're at your destruction. Why? Because the government is no longer for the people. It's for an agenda. Because of a perverse generation that has taken over a government. Hello, are you listening? See, why? Because we are in the end days now. This is it. We are looking for the return of the Lord. Two events is going to happen soon. The rapture, which is the removal of the body of Christ and all righteous believers and practicing righteous believers. And then the wrath of God, which will hit once we're taken. Hello. Ungodly marriages, unhealthy foods, liars, hypocrites, taken by demonic spirits to promote their own agenda. Proverbs 30. Y'all okay? Man, we need to be reminded so we don't get caught up. Because if you get caught up, you won't get caught up. Pleasers of men instead of pleasers of God. No reverence, no fear. Proverbs 30 and verse 7. Proverbs 30 and verse 7. Oh, okay, verse 5. Verse 5. Come on, it's only two little things back here. Did you bring your Holy Ghost eraser? Verse 5, would you read it with me? Every word of God is what? Pure. He's a shield to those who what? Put their trust in him. Do not add to his words. In other words, don't let your opinion be above his word. Lest he rebuke you and you be found a what? A liar. Two things I request of you. Deprive from me not before I die, Lord. Remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me. Lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. Do not what? Malign a servant to his master, lest he curse you and you be found guilty. There is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. And there is a generation that is pure in its own eyes, yet is not washed from its filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are like swords, and whose fangs are like knives, to devour the poor from the earth, and the needy from among men. And that generation is here. It is here. And it will continue to disciple and expand. It is called a perverse generation. And a perverse generation has infiltrated our government to promote its own agenda. It wants to promote oneness. Are you listening? It's promoting oneness. It's an area of false righteousness. It's self-righteous. Come on, it's saying, we the people now. No, it's not we the people. It's you and your agenda to bring oneness, to promote one world order. See, they're in preparation now to release the first mark. There'll be a 666. Six is a representation of man. But the first area that will be established will be a one world financial system, a one world government, and a one world religion. Those are the three areas that will be established. And they're trying to release the first six right now. You can see it being happening right now. Right now, and government is trying to disciple. They're trying to take control of everything, banking systems, everything. Listen, you don't think that this whole drama of financial problems could have been resolved or avoided? Of course it could. I could have resolved it. Hello? You could have resolved it. Does everybody understand? It's a real simple thing. But here we've got people that are supposed to be in think tanks. They're only thinking right now. The problem is they're in the tank, you know. But these people's thinking is not of God. You don't think that they foresaw these things to come? Of course they did. They knew exactly what was happening. This generation has been preparing for years to infiltrate and get in position right now. For years. And it is happening, and we are seeing it, and we are a part of the timeless generation that is going to fight this perverse generation. But we know the end result that we want already. But in that, many people will be persecuted. You must persevere no matter what. Oh, yes. A generation has risen that has taken government control to promote oneness, not with God, but with evil. A deceived generation that feeds on self-righteousness and goodness and can't discern what is holy or clean or spiritual times and seasons. Go to Matthew 12. Now, this is not to promote ungodly fear, but I'd hope that this will scare the hell out of you. Matthew 12. Verse 38. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. And some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." But he answered and said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given it to it except the sign of the prophet of Jonah." In other words, he would rise in 3 days, right? But the sign that's going to be brought to this perverse generation will be the rapture of the church. And those who reject that sign will be the wrath of God. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it. But did you notice it says rise up? So what generation is he talking about? This one now. You must look in the Word. The Word is always three-dimensional. Past, present, and future. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and indeed a greater than Solomon is here. Oh, hallelujah. Adulterous generation, perverse generation, ungodly, unfearing generation has arisen. Go to Matthew 24, verse 3. Matthew 24, verse 3. Now as Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us when these things will be. It won't be the sign of your coming and the end of the age." And Jesus answered, and he said to them, what? Take heed what? No one deceives you. Well, you know what? One of the things that people are going to get deceived is because they forsake to assemble. Why? Because they're missing messages just like this one. Hello? They're going to forsake to assemble. They're going to start their own little thing. Well, God knows my heart. Well, he does. They're going to lack in sowing. And I mean, not physically in the area of financial. I'm talking the greatest sowing you can do is with what? Your tongue. Worship, praise, declarations. Let me tell you, you can keep giving all the money, and I won't reject it. Because we bring Bibles to the jails and so forth and feed and whatever. But the greatest sowing you can give as an individual is praise and worship to the Lord. Why? Because that will put you in position. In verse 5 it says, "For many will come in my name saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end's not yet. For nation will rise against nation." That means ethnic. Ethnic. In fact, one of the agendas right now of this perverse generation is to promote racism. Why? They're out to promote racism. Why? So nation can rise up against nation and they can do their agenda. In secret. Kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. Are these things happening? Yes. And these are the beginning of sorrows. And they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Go to verse 32. Is everybody there? Now he says what? "Now learn this parable from the fig tree." The fig tree represents Israel. He said, "When its branches have already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the what? The doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things what? Take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But know that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Are we in the days of Noah? Yes. For in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, men with men, women with women. Until that day, Noah entered the ark. That will be representation of the rapture. We will enter the ark. Hallelujah. And what a spark it's going to give, let me tell you. And did not know until the flood came and took them away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other one left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Is everybody there? Let's read it. Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promises to you and to your children, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and in that day 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then the fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Psalm 36. Psalm 36. Perverse generation. Psalm 36 and verse 1. Would you read it with me? "An oracle within my heart concerning the transgression of the wicked. There is no fear of God before his eyes." Do we see that now? Yes. "For he flatters himself in his own eyes, when he finds out his iniquity and when he hates. The words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. He devises wickedness on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not what? Abhor evil. He calls it good. He doesn't expose it. He promotes it. A society of ungodliness, no fear or reverence. It is a religiousness of its flesh. It is a religious organization of its own flesh." Are you listening? Why? Because it practices what? Adultery, fornication. That is now its religion, self. "A government not for the people, but for an agenda to bring man to the mark of oneness with global evil." That is their purpose. I want to close at this next scripture, Genesis 11. Genesis 11. "And let everything that has breath praise the Lord." Praise God. How many of y'all like gathering out here in the park? Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? Amen. Church without walls, you know? In verse 1, "Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, 'Come, Let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city, a what? A tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves. Oh, man. Lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. Now, you got to know that they knew that God would not allow this. But they would try to do it. First of all, number one is they wanted to escape any other flood or judgment from God. So they wanted to build a tower high enough. Now, you got to listen to this because they had one language, didn't they? And what are they trying to do right now? This perverse nation, perverse generation is trying to bring what? One language back. But the timeless generation has brought one language back. It's called tongues. Hallelujah. But see, the perverse generation wants to have a name for itself. Now, we know that a lot of things occurred and started a huge shift when two towers came down. Because those towers, those financial towers, was a representation of one language globally called money. And it was a sign from the Lord. Now, you may think, well, the terrorists got it and brought it down, but who allowed it? God. To bring a reality, it started a whole shift. Actually, it started the area in preparation of his return, letting the body of Christ know. It was also a sign to Satan's kingdom from my dad saying, listen, I'm coming. And your one language I will not stand for. And as I've taken down the Tower of Babel, I will take down the Tower of Financial. I'll take down every tower you try. But you cannot outrun my wrath, nor my judgment. But I will come for you, Satan. I will come for you. Let's go a little further. Is everybody there? In verse 5. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are what? One world order, one world government, one world financial system. Man who made a name for himself. 666. And the Lord said, indeed, people are one and they have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they purpose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down there and confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore its name is called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the whole earth. Face of the earth. Oh, hallelujah. And that will happen again. Only this time, they'll be removed by the fire of God. Perverse generation. There is a fight against the timeless generation and the perverse generation. Stand strong. Continue to learn. Continue to fight. Don't get caught up in love of this world. Come out from among them and be separate. And let God build your house that you may become a pillar in his temple. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Thank you for your warning and reminding us of that which is to come and what is occurring right now. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness in any area where we have agreed, promoted, or sown seed into this perverse generation. Have mercy upon us and let your grace abound. Wash us by the blood and wash us from this world that we may be set apart for you, ready to do, ready to yield, ready to speak, ready to serve, and ready to die for your glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.